Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, this is Michael Sinoff with Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Here's a special recording exclusively for our HMA marketing consultants, and it's an interview with a special guest named Kevin Hogan. Who is Kevin Hogan? Kevin is generally agreed to be the nation's leading body language expert. He's a dynamic, very well-known international motivational and inspirational keynote speaker, consultant, and corporate trainer. He has trained persuasion, sales, and marketing skills to leaders in the government of Poland, employees from Boeing, Microsoft, Starbucks, Cargill, Pillsbury, Carlson Companies, Fortis Insurance, Great Clips, the state of Minnesota, 3M, the United States Postal Service, and numerous other Fortune 500 companies. Kevin is the author of 12 books, including The Science of Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and Irresistible Attraction. He is often called the USA go-to influence and persuasion consultant. He has shared his expertise about body language, persuasion, and influence with the New York Times, CNN, the BBC, Fox Television, and dozens of popular magazines like Cosmopolitan, First for Women, Women's World, Playboy, Woman's Own, Redbook, King, Maxim, Selling Power, and others. He has become the go-to resource for analyzing key White House figures. Hogan was consulted on the body language of the presidential and vice presidential candidates during the 2004 election. Hogan has taught persuasion and influence at University of St. Thomas Management Center and is a frequent media guest. We've got Kevin here for over an hour. I've got him revealing all his most sacred secrets on body persuasion and how you, international or U.S. HMA marketing consultants, can use these persuasion techniques to get more clients, to close clients easier, to get your clients to like you, and to increase the overall sales of your consulting business. Get ready. He's been very generous in giving us his time, so let's get going. There's a lot to cover, and certainly this is another one of those interviews that you've got to listen to 5 or 6 times, so enjoy. Had you first become interested in persuasion?
Back when I was a kid, I grew up in Chicago. We grew up pretty poor. Life was not great. My dad had left when I was 4 or 5 years old, and so I didn't really have any money. So from a very young age, I learned to start little teeny businesses. Like, I sold greeting cards, Christmas cards. I'd shovel people's driveways. I would cut people's lawns. I would pick people's weeds, all depending on how old I was and what skills I had or developed. But when I was selling things, I found I was making more money. Then it was really strange, even as a kid, like 11, 12, 13 years old, I realized that, some of these people should have bought these greeting cards because everybody needs greeting cards. So why are only like half the people buying from me? So I started to think about that, and actually as an 11, 12-year-old kid, started to read like Napoleon Hill and Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude with Clement Stone. And so I started reading all this stuff as a little kid. I even read a couple of books on hypnosis as a kid, and one by Orman McGill, and it became fascination. And then I stayed in sales-related stuff through college. College is where I picked up the real fascination in nonverbal communication, which turns out to be the most crucial piece of persuasion. It's not necessarily all the words on the website. It's the nuances on the website that sell. It's not necessarily the words you say to your prospect. It's the nuances, the environment, the waitresses, where you sit, all that stuff. And so everything became fascinating when I started taking these nonverbal communication classes, and I actually took part in research projects. It was a blast. I was like, oh my God, just by what you dress like and what you look like and how attractive you are or aren't, all that stuff influences. It changes everything. For attractive people, they live in one world. Unattractive live in another. Wealthy people live in one world. Poor people live in another one. But the perceptions that people have are formed so instantaneously, whether it's your website or whether it's an ad on TV or whatever, things influence people without them even being aware of it. And so it just became fascinating to me from being a little kid, and it never stops. Every day I see stuff that I go, oh my gosh, does that really work? Back in the late 70s, through the late 80s, there were some basic nonverbal communication and human interaction type classes. There were social attitude classes, the formation of social attitudes, persuasion in groups. At the time, there had been a really powerful study done by Philip Zimbardo out in California with the famous prison experiment where half the kids were guards and half the kids were inmates. And this experiment was done right after Vietnam, and it was a very protest time. It was really a pretty interesting time, and so people started to go, that stuff's really interesting. So it caught on. And a lot of the stuff that people didn't want to talk about, that was sort of like, you know, the hidden persuaders of Vance Packard and the true believer of Hoffa and all that kind of stuff, they actually started studying and putting it into a college curriculum. Now, today, you won't see a lot of the stuff that I write about in psychology, but you'll see it in neuropsychology, or you'll see it in consumer behavior classes. A lot of the research that I do is in medical. For example, like, what does a doctor do in a specific situation? How does he present options to a patient? And how the patient will decide, or the doctor will decide what to do based upon how the information was presented. So the stuff is not quite as secret as you might think, but I will say that it's not easy to get. It's extremely expensive to get this kind of information. You either have to be in that university learning from that professor, or you have to be able to afford to subscribe to the academic journals, which are really spendy. So I do have a nice edge over competition who might be talking about NLP or hypnosis or old-fashioned selling techniques, because I don't even think in those terms anymore. For me, everything is about all of the new information that's come out in the last 20 years, and I have to actually think back to, like, how to sell, the old models of selling, because they're not that relevant to me anymore, and actually they shouldn't be for most people because there's so much better stuff out there.
Let's say you're at a party and someone comes up to you and says, nice to meet you, Kevin, so what do you do? What do you say?
If you're at a party, then literally this is potential clientele here. It's Kevin Hogan. I'm an author. I wrote the book Psychology of Persuasion. What's your name? John Smith. John, nice to meet you. Kevin Hogan. I wrote Psychology of Persuasion. You haven't seen it probably, have you? You know, that's the great way you've drilled his name into your head, and you've introduced the fact that you are author. And by the way, if this is going to be listened to by consultants, every single consultant out there should be a writer too. Because unless you're a TV star, which most of us aren't, or a radio star, which most of us aren't, people love to talk with authors, whether it's the author of magazine articles or whether it's the author of a book. And the perception of credibility for consulting goes way high when you can say author of this book. One of the great things you have an opportunity to do when you say that is, have you read it yet? And they'll say no. Say, oh, geez, just came out. What's your address? I'll send you a copy in the morning, autographed and everything. And then you just have built a relationship in a way that nobody ever thinks. Basically, what you've just done is you've created a relationship, you're giving the person a gift, and the person is going to respond with thank you, and you're going to drop them a note back, follow up on it, and literally you'll build relationships like that, which is, nobody does this kind of stuff.
Have you done that quite a bit?
No, because that's not my world. I have people who do it with my work, you know, that I license my work to that are consultants. For example, my book, The Psychology of Persuasion, so I'm pretty well around the world, and so I have licensees around the world. And what they'll do is, for example, they will send a copy of my book because they're licensed to teach my material and train it to companies or to individuals. So they'll take Federal Express, they'll put a copy of my book into it, and they will send it to, you know, John Smith, CEO of Smith Corporation. And then 2 days later, they'll say, hey, did you get a copy of The Psychology of Persuasion? And the guy will say, yes. And they get appointments for whatever business they're in, whether they're going to be consulting or training or doing a seminar for the company. They get an appointment to go in and work with the person. I literally do almost no networking in real life. I'm sort of like Elvis, where they bring you in behind in the kitchen. You go out there, you do your thing, and you're gone in 2 hours, and you're off on the plane to the next place.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. How do you have your consulting business set up?
Well, first of all, you should sort of understand that I do a lot of things. I write. I create CD programs, which are pretty cool. I do consulting with about 2 dozen people around the world on a regular basis. Some are company owners. Some are people who are salespeople. Other people, they just want to have a better life. But prefer to be in helping people how to build money, because that's really my preference right now. But influence and selling techniques is certainly really relevant too. But I'm not actively pursuing business right now. And if I do, it's through internet. 70% of the income that I personally take in is probably through the Easy and Coffee with Kevin Hogan and our website combined.
You're saying through your internet website and your Easy. Would you consider this one of your most effective ways of getting new clients?
There's nothing even close. The ability to develop that relationship when people get something of massive quality. I subscribe to a bunch of easings. Most of them are really not very good because they miss the point of what an easing is. An easing should sort of be a personalized conversation with a singular person. And in my easing every week, I tell them what I watched on TV that week, or I'll tell them that I was in Vegas, if I was in Vegas, or wherever I was. And just a couple of lines, you know, saw this show, saw Love at the Mirage with the Beatles, Cirque du Soleil. It was really cool, and go there when you're in town. If I ate at a cool restaurant, I'll say, oh, ate over at Emeralds. Man, you got to go there. That was just really good. If I took my son to somewhere, I'll say, oh, yeah, we went to Treasure Island and watched the sirens. You should bring your kids over there if you got the kids in town. Stuff like that. And then people get to know you. They get to know your weaknesses, which is really important, and that you're a real person and that you're not Superman, and that you communicate like a person who has challenges in life, that stuff goes wrong. The IRS audited. Yuck, I hated that. Or whatever. And then go in and talk to people. Give people valuable information, articles. But some of the articles that you'll see on the internet, which are like, you know, resale articles, I mean, really cool stuff that they couldn't get anywhere else if they tried. And then you set yourself apart. And you're always welcome to put a little commercial into your easing as well at some point. Usually toward the bottom is good. Let people get through it. Develop the relationship. Don't try to get rich fast. Getting rich slow, it's the same.
So you said something really important. If a consultant's out there prospecting, it's important to let their target, as you would say, or their prospect know that you've got weaknesses and that you're only human. Will this better the consultant's chance of gaining trust and getting the person to like him and potentially getting the client rather than acting other than the way you really are?
The greatest concern that you and I have when somebody comes to our door or we buy something, and by the way, this is probably one of the most researched areas that's out there right now. Dr. Eric Knowles down at the University of Arkansas has done a lot of research into this specific area that you're talking about right now, and it's called an omega strategy. It's a strategy that has nothing to do with creating more value with your product, your proposal. And what that means is if I say, hey, Kevin Hogan, author of The Psychology of Persuasion, guy says, you know, I do with something I know nothing about, cars, okay? So he says, I run a car dealership with special cars that nobody else buys anywhere. So I don't know anything about cars except for that they run. So this is good, and I can say that. I say, well, you know, I'm car ignorant, but I'm sales wise. Literally by telling people your weaknesses or letting people know that you don't have a perfect success record, that you have been successful in these areas, but perhaps not that area. All the nuclear defense missiles go down. The person realizes they're talking to somebody who's honest. They're talking to somebody who isn't BSing them. It's like, hey, the guy just told me he's not perfect, so I don't have to go try to find his imperfections. It goes a long way towards not only building rapport, but making sales. And yeah, it's documented 2 to 3 times more money probably per person if you use that kind of a concept.
How can one read the body language of the opposite sex and know for absolute sure if they like you or are attracted to you?
Absolute sure is a tough qualification, but let's just speak with general, more broad terms that, you know, how can you have the best idea possible? If you're a man and you're communicating with a woman, there's a few things that are typically misunderstood because there's such huge differences. So if you want to know if a woman likes you and if she's sort of leaning into your conversation with her hand under her chin, she probably is actually just bored to tears. And this is the exact opposite of how men communicate with men. Men, if we're interested with each other, we might lean over the table and bend it in the conversation and go, oh, yeah, that's really interesting. But women are the opposite. When they become interested, they sit back and they go, huh, and then that's real. And women also tend to smile more than men, but we tend to get the wrong impression as men. We think, oh, she's in love with me. If she accidentally touches you, we tend to think she's in love. Neither of these things are true. Women do a lot of things to be friendly on purpose or to be nice on purpose. They feel sorry for us. It's that maternal instinct. But when a woman moves into your space and she actually comes closer to you after you have been standing or sitting somewhere, or she gets up and goes to use the restroom and then comes back to the table, and then she positions herself in such a way that she's closer to you physically, now you know factually that this person likes you more. Women are very space-oriented, territorial creatures. So can you be absolutely positive? No, there are a few psychos left in the world. But generally speaking, if a woman moves into your space and she's significantly closer than she was before, especially if she comes up, looks at you, I 18 inches away or less, you can virtually guarantee that person has a very strong interest that it's not in business.
Very good. How can one identify deception immediately? Let's say a consultant goes out and he's meeting with a client and he's asking probing questions and he's getting answers. Are there some techniques that we can sense that the client is telling the truth?
There's a few things. If you're talking with somebody and they have something to gain by deceiving you, when they start to deceive you, their heart rate will increase, blood flow will go into their face, and it will go up by the nose and above the nose between the eyebrows, and it will also go into the ears, and so you'll literally see visually their face redden. I mean, it's really pretty amazing. Another thing that happens when people deceive is their pupils tend to get smaller as you're looking, and so that's a really pretty cool cue.
Why does that happen physiologically?
Generally speaking, when people are trying to take in the environment, their pupils will get larger, and generally speaking, when people like you, their pupils get larger. But when they're deceiving you, there is a fear constriction, and when you're afraid, when you're trying to think and create lies, for some reason the pupils get smaller, and it does, and it's something that you watch. And if you watch that, and then if you notice that a person is like taking their index finger or their middle finger and kind of touching their nose or their earlobes, those are the places that get the most itchy, if you will, when people have a lot of blood flow to the head. And what's really interesting, by the way, just hearing about deception and thinking about deception actually causes these physiological changes in people. So anybody who's listening right now actually probably feels their nose itching and their ear itching and will probably scratch it and touch it with their middle or first finger. Really an amazing phenomenon. And the other thing is if you see that somebody is using too much eye contact, they're with you all the time, that is a pretty good sign that something is wrong. Usually people are concerned when they're being evaluated or they're judged, and so they tend to look away and they look down. But people who are deceiving on purpose, somebody comes to your door, they look at you with perfect eye contact for more than 75-85% of the time, you can generally know that there's some real good quality deception going in there. You may not be able to figure out what it is, but you can usually figure out that it's there. There's other stuff, but those are some really easy ones.
Are telling stories to clients a powerful tool to use during a sales presentation?
Can be. Most people tell crummy stories that they think are really interesting. Let me give you a quick example both ways. If you can remember that you told the story and the response was, you know, I had something like that happen to me, except for I had twice as much cars on the highway that were crashed, your story meant nothing. And so that kind of story, the story that you haven't tested in front of somebody, trying to communicate and how you communicate it, usually people tell stories that fail because they're not what is necessary for the sales presentation. On the other hand, if you tell a story that is uniquely relevant to the person and is often self-deprecating in humor, in other words, it's picking on Kevin, you know, so I tell a story and if it picks on me, I got to confess, this is how I made a lot of sales when I was in face-to-face sales for advertising. I did a lot of self-deprecating stories, very short, tight, two-minute stories that were not possible to be bored in and had really cute, cool finishes. All very true and very real.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Have you had any success using PowerPoint presentations?
This is a great question. It's self-deprecating, and this one's not on purpose. For years, I have taught other speakers and presenters and managers, trainers, to not use PowerPoint. Then, a few years ago, my friend Jeffrey Gittimer, I watched him do a gig at Caesar's Palace where he used PowerPoint beautifully. And I was like, God, maybe I'm wrong. Well, this year, I took PowerPoint and I did about 7 or 8 presentations with PowerPoint. And I found that I really shouldn't have. For whatever reason, Jeffrey's approach is very special. But the best way for people to like you, the best way for them to buy you, because they're going to buy you before they even think about what you're selling, especially if you're a sales consultant, is to probably not use PowerPoint. To look the person in the eye, to talk with them, to get to know them and to show your value as a person. Could you have PowerPoint with you? Sure. If they want to see something on PowerPoint, can you then turn the computer on and show them? You bet. But to make it a presentation every single time, I think is a big mistake, because it takes away the strength. If there's any strength in your presentation, it really is you as a person. It's the connection that's going to be made for the long term. I don't regret totally using the PowerPoint this year for experimental purposes, but I probably won't for a long, long time. It's not an easy thing to do well, and it takes away from almost everybody who uses it, and it takes away from the persona and the presence that you have, and makes you like everybody else, indiscernible from all the other people who are competing for a similar business. Be you. Sit in front of the person. Have weaknesses. Show your strengths. Show your certainty. Show your uncertainty. Show who you are. Show your character, and let the person pick you and not your PowerPoint presentation. Always be prepared for other stuff, but stay away from it. There's rarely a reason that PowerPoint is necessary.
What did you notice Jeffrey Gittimore was doing that was unique in his PowerPoint presentation?
A lot of things. He's a friend of mine, so I've watched him actually build his PowerPoint presentations, and he builds new ones all the time. And he does a few things that are really cool. He only uses one or two words each slide, if he uses words. He will use a lot of photos of baseball players or people who were first, like he'll have a photo of Neil Armstrong, a photo of Marilyn Monroe, a photo of people who were first or best at what they did, and people who were winners at what they did, people that we all identify with, Abraham Lincoln and, you know, Roosevelt. But he stays away from current political figures and things like that. But his photos all had a purpose. He never looked at his PowerPoint while he was presenting. He was in front of the audience, and he would push, you know, the next frame button, and then he knew the frame that was on the PowerPoint. But he continued to look at me in the audience.
He was like putting people in state. He knew exactly, creating vision during his presentation.
Exactly. The difference between what I did, because I basically modeled how he did it, except for the fact that I walk around a lot when I talk verbally, mentally. I mean, I might go off on a tangent. But Jeffrey never goes off on a tangent because he has his PowerPoint and he can't go off on a tangent. He has it prepared. He knows what he's going to do next. And he has this like an actor down. He knows exactly what is going to come next. Whereas for me, I actually had to peek over my shoulder and look up at the PowerPoint, which means I'm subservient to what's on the wall, and that takes away from you. But if you want to do it right, if you want to take a chance on PowerPoint, then do it so you don't ever have to look at it, that it gives you like the backup band. You know, it's the guitar and the drummer. It's back there for backup, but Elvis is on the front of the stage. Elton John is on the front of the stage. The orchestra is not visible or is barely visible. That's what you want to do. That's what Jeffrey does real well with it. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody, gosh, I hope you're not listening, guys, but I don't think I've seen anybody else use it very well at all.
You know, I did an interview with Glenn Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost positive, I just have to double-check the transcripts, but I think he said Jeffrey was really inspired by Glenn Turner. There was this one video presentation that Glenn Turner put out. This was many years ago, that Jeffrey Gittimore supposedly watched 200 times and really helped him launch his whole career.
You know, I think that's true for a lot of people. I know it's true for me, my goodness. We all have our heroes and our idols in our profession, and I know that I drilled a half a dozen different voices into my head for 10 years. I listened to the same CDs over and over and over and over and over, and they become part of you. And I haven't asked Jeffrey about that, but it wouldn't surprise me. I know he loved Earl Nightingale, and I know he listened to The Strangest Secret hundreds of times.
That's probably it. Have you ever listened to Glenn Turner?
No, I haven't.
Do you know who he is?
I've heard the name, but I can't identify.
There was a book written about him called Con Man or Saint. He started his own MLM company called Costcott. This is back in the 60s, and where they were selling mink oil, but he just a real rags to riches, was the son of a sharecropper, just a great story. And this guy was one amazing salesman. You know, I used to call him a con man, but the vision this guy talks and the emotion, it would be a lesson even for you. It's incredible.
Where would you find?
I've got some audio of his on my site. I've done interviews with him, and I've got a product that we kind of put together from some of his old speeches. They're incredible. I'll send you a link. I'd love your feedback on this guy's speech. There's this one speech, I forgot what it's called, the red suit speech. He's in this red suit, and I've got the audio of it, but he said after he would do this speech, and this was recruiting people into his multi-level marketing company, he'd fly all across the world, and he'd do the same one over and over again, and he said people would be running up to him with fistful of cash. It was unbelievable.
You know, I have not heard the name. I mean, I've heard the name, but I haven't heard of what he did. I can't wait.
You'll be into this, okay? Listening for the nuances and the way he creates vision and emotion, it's powerful stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. I did an interview with a guy named Jim Camp. Have you ever heard of him? He's a negotiating expert, and he's got a firm where he does negotiating and works with governments and such. And he's got a real different view on negotiating. And in the interview, he kind of poo-poos tactics, and he says all his negotiations are principle-based. He says tactics can get you into trouble. Do you have any feedback on that?
Yeah, tactics, it's just an interesting question. You know, when you're working with principles like Stephen Covey's 7 principles, as long as you're working within those principles of ethics and then you utilize tactics, there's everything right about that. My best friends know that unconsciously I'm doing this all the time, and they don't even ask anymore, like, are you trying to persuade me? I'm sure I am. I just don't know how or what I'm doing at the moment because it's so drilled into who I am. I think when you think about it like this, my son, if he's on his bicycle and there's a car coming at him, I'm going to use very specific words and tactics that I know are effective at getting people to instantaneously do what I tell them to do. And so I will say, son, quickly, come back here instantly now. That's a tactic. And there are hundreds of quality tactics to make business happen now. But it's very much like some of the seduction stuff that's out there. I like the seduction material because the seduction material basically does one thing. It gets you the first date. But seduction material doesn't work the second time.
I gotcha.
Everything that's a tactic gets the first appointment, gets the first date. But after that, it's your character. It's who you are. It's something about you that's special or unique that makes you different from everybody else that gets you the second date, the second appointment, the business in the future. So, no, I guess I would have to disagree completely.
Okay. When you're selling your consulting services, or maybe in the beginning of your career you were selling consulting services, were you specifically trying to close deals in your consulting practice, or are you actually persuading people to ask you to do business with them? And what's the difference?
I never really thought that much about closing. You know, I listened to Zig Ziglar's Secrets of Closing the Sale, and I loved that set. It was really cool. Lots of cool stories and stuff to close sales. But I think if people think in terms of closing sales from a tactical point, that's probably an error. I walk into every conversation with an assumption that is, if I'm talking to this person, why would they do business with anybody else? It's not an arrogance. It's just that Kevin Hogan is going to work harder for that person and give them more value and more information than anybody. I mean, I really believe this is who I am. If Kenrick comes out with a product and I think it's awesome, I'll come out with a better one because I don't want Kenrick to have the best product out there. I'll have the best one. And that's just how I am. And I think if people believe the same thing, it's not even believing in yourself. You are going to work harder for this person than anybody else. So why the heck would somebody do business with anybody else? So it's not even persuading. It's almost like an attitude. And so I always think about things happening fast. As a salesperson, I never made a long presentation. I never talked for a long time. I was like, this is what I have. This is what it does. Let's do this right now. And then talk about, like, you know, baseball. It never dawned on me to try to force a close or anything like that. I would try to build rapport intentionally on purpose at first and things like that.
Let's talk about that. What would you recommend a consultant do in a first-time face-to-face meeting to make a great first impression and build rapport?
Well, there's some things that we know from research that work real well, and there's some strategies that I've used over the years that happen to have either been lucky, intuitive, or whatever. One thing is, whenever I would meet people, especially if I could meet them at a restaurant, I would always arrive early and sit at the back of the restaurant facing every other human being in the restaurant so that the person who was coming to meet me, or if it was the manager of the store or whatever, they would be obligated to sit directly across from me, and the only thing that they could see was me. That was it. They might be able to hear their employees in the background or hear stuff happening in the background, but they couldn't actually see anything. So I had 100% of the attention, and I had essentially a perception that I was totally in control of the environment, which was real nice. So that's the first thing that I would recommend somebody do. The second thing is that if you have a choice of where to take people, there's some things that we factually know are more likely to sell. If you take people to a restaurant that has dimly lit lights, the probability of getting yes at the end of your proposal, presentation, whatever it is significantly greater than if you take a person to a restaurant that is well lit.
Why is it?
Because when lighting is down, the pupils expand in size, and when I look at you, I see pupils that are large, and unconsciously, nobody, you know, necessarily tells us this in school. We just know this from looking at babies. The babies always have these big eyes. They're happy, and we literally have all these powerful, wonderful associations to huge eyes. And when you look at a person in dim light, their eyes are really quite large, and there is a feeling that people get inside, a sense that they're comfortable, that things are good, that this is okay, I like this person, they like me. You talk about tactics. That's one of my all-time favorite tactics, is that combination of dim light and seating position in a restaurant. That's worth $50,000 this year. People will just do that.
How about this? How about seating arrangements for man-to-man or man-to-woman and woman-to-woman?
It matters a lot. This is so important. Let's just talk about probably the most important thing in seating first, which is that if you have a right-handed person that you're working with as opposed to a lefty, if you're working with a right-handed person, you want to be off to their right. And the reason is that it activates their left brain more when they're looking at you. Their left brain is a little more logical. It's a little more linear. It's able to be convinced by logic and rational thinking. The right brain is sort of the storehouse of emotional memory, autobiography, feelings, all that kind of stuff. And all that's great, but you don't really want to be setting off all those emotional feelings and all that when you're meeting with somebody in a sales presentation, because if you do, you're probably going to set off bad feelings and bad memories. Most people's most powerful emotions are negative, and that is a shame, but that's the way it really is. So the first thing you do with no matter who is you try to be off to their right, if they're right-handed. I'm not even talking about the lefty. You can go to my website, and there's all kinds of stuff about that there. And then, if you're dealing with men, you're probably best to not be too close. Men want to have about 6 feet between each other. So if you have a choice between a little teeny table and a big booth, you should choose the big booth. If you have the choice between a booth and a table that's about 4, 5, 6 feet where people are further apart from each other, you want to do that. If you're at a small table, men are going to be very uncomfortable. Men are very adversarial, and so if you can make your presentation on a right angle, so in other words, the man is at position A, and you're off to his right at, what would that be, 3 o'clock, okay? That's ideal. So you're on like a 90-degree angle, and your justification is so you can show him your portfolio or your PowerPoint presentation or whatever it is you want to show him. You don't want to be too close to him, but you don't want to be directly across the chessboard from him either, because men are very confrontational. Women, on the other hand, women are like relationship creatures. They want to be directly across from each other and talking and looking at each other, and they have huge, long eye contact. They like to be much closer than men. A woman can be 4 feet across from another woman or 3.5 feet across from another woman if she likes her, and there's no problem with that at all. Face-to-face works the best. Interestingly, for women, they can also be side-to-side, very close, and successfully you can have a sale made from a presentation side-to-side. You can't do that with a guy, though. It's not going to work. And by the way, this is partially context-dependent. If you're in a sports arena, if you're at a baseball game, and you're seated next to a guy, you guys can talk business, close a deal, no problem. But it's where you have a chance to be in a different location. Like, I could be further away from this guy. I can't do that at the baseball stadium. If I go to the Cubs game, I'm sitting in a seat right next to him. And we can do business right there because we're guys and we know that's cool and we didn't purposefully sit ourselves right next to each other. We're not too close to each other. But women can intentionally sit next to each other and actually transact business like that almost as easily as they can face-to-face.
That's great stuff. What does it mean to send appropriate body language with your message?
There's a lot of mistakes that people make with their body language. Men are body language idiots. Like, I'm going to actually do this while I'm talking with you. If you think back to how men act around other people, they'll sit on a chair, and the chair will have the back of the chair, but they'll sit with their stomach facing the back of the chair. Their legs will then be spread as far as they possibly can from each other. So I have a knee, and there's like 3.5 feet between my knees. And
you don't want to do that in a meeting,
huh? It's not a good thing. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I've seen this and I've seen other things. I've walked into offices where people will do that, but I've seen where a man will put his feet up, his shoes up, on his desk or on a desk, a meeting table, and then he'll lean back, and everybody else will be sitting at the table. Now, this person's obviously the power person, but it's a major faux pas because there's nothing wrong with it. I love to sit back and lay down, too. I mean, people come to my house, I got a couch, I'm laying on my couch. That's not unusual here. And it's probably a faux pas, but I'm not trying to close a sale or to make a sale or to build a business here at my house. You do that in business, and people might say yes to you if they have to, but they're not going to like you because you are intentionally putting them down.
Your job should be to more mirror them and be like them rather than different.
That's it. If you have a chance, the most respectful and honorable thing that you can do for another person is to model their body positioning and to make them feel comfortable, to let them know that you're not a threat, that you don't look down on them, you respect them, you care about them, and so you literally want to be like them. And the great thing is if somebody ever says, hey, are you doing that modeling, mirroring, synchronization, matching, pacing, leading, whatever you want to call it on me, I always say yes. Absolutely, I want you to feel good. Is it working? And then they can either say yeah or no. And I'll say, what do you want me to do?
Do you have people really picked up on you modeling and mirroring them?
No.
Okay. That'd be funny. Do people really make snap judgments about people within the first 4 seconds?
Yeah. I mean, you know who you're going to marry in the first 4 seconds, essentially. Yeah, but before a person opens their mouth, you've already decided whether you're going to buy from them for the most part. When you walk into the office or into the store or the restaurant or wherever you're at, and the person sees you, the way that you walk, the presence that you have, the aura that's around you, how you walk, how you carry your body. Are you carrying it really comfortably? Are you carrying it like a military colonel? Are you carrying it like, you know, a guy from the hood? If that fits with what the other person likes, then they are really likely to do business with you. And if it doesn't fit, your chances of overcoming it are very, 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 very difficult. PowerPoint's not going to cut it. So, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. In 1999, I ran a speed dating course. I did a couple of these. And I did them here at the Learning Annex in Minneapolis. And I called Kirsten. And I said, hey, I want to do a speed dating course. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I want to test to see how fast people know if they like somebody or not. And she was like, cool, you know, because that'll make some money. And sure enough, we drew a ton of people. Speed dating works like this. The woman actually sits down at her table, and then she's going to have 15 dates in the next 60 minutes. Okay, 15 dates with 15 different guys in the next 60 minutes. And so what happens is the guy goes and he sits down and he starts talking to the girl, and they decide whether or not they're going to like each other. They don't tell each other that, but at the end of the date, they have a comment card, like a customer comment card from McDonald's, you know, and on the back of it, it just says, do you want this person's phone number? Yes or no? And then at the top, it says the person's name. And what happens is that men want about 70% of the women's phone numbers. Women want about 10% of the men's phone numbers. And that women, almost as quickly as men, decide whether they would ever want to go out with this person again or not. And most women, when I interviewed them after the class, told me that they didn't need 4 minutes.
They didn't need 4 minutes.
4 minutes in this case.
They could tell instantly.
Within 30 seconds, most of them were telling me whether they wanted to go on a date again. And dating is a lot more personal than making a sale.
Now, had you heard of the speed dating?
Yeah, because there was a Jewish website that I was reading.
J-Date?
I don't remember. This is 7 years ago, and it's old, but it could have been J-Date. But anyway, I was reading, I thought, God, this is a cool idea. I've always been interested in Judaism. I was doing some research on the Bible, and I came across this page because I was looking about women and Jewish, right? So there it was, and it was like, oh, that's cool. That was where I got the idea. It's not like I invented this or anything.
It's a great technique because it could sure save the people out in the dating market a lot of time.
And, you know, Dr. Knowles down in Arizona, I mentioned him earlier, he's really one of my idols in sort of the influence persuasion world. And he's done some research on a concept called oscillation that we sort of go back and forth in the course of a minute several times as to whether or not we want to say yes or no to a proposal. And really, nothing changes after the first minute that's going to be different in the 7th minute or the 12th minute or the 15th minute, except the probability of making the sale can have more variables come into the situation. So what I'm saying is that all things being equal, you should get the name on a piece of paper like in 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 4 minutes, whatever, fast, because variables will start to enter into the equation. Somebody will walk in the door, the telephone will ring, the doorbell will go off, the person will have to go to the bathroom. And generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, interruptions rarely are, hey, John, you just won the lottery. And the person is seldom happier after an interruption happens. So generally speaking, the first 4 seconds determine whether the person likes you or not. In the first 30 seconds, they decide whether they're going to buy from you or not. And then once they've decided to buy, it's fine. Buy, and then talk about the clubs afterwards.
I have a question for you. You know, we've got consultants all over the world. I don't know what they look like, but how can physical looks be hurting their chance in their consulting practice? And you can be hard on them and give them some tips on how they can increase their chances by changing any kind of physical look or clothes they wear or anything like that.
Okay. There's a lot of unfortunate things that happen to us poor guys out there. One is we start to lose our hair. Balding men make fewer sales than men with hair. That's number one. Number two is tall men make more money, about $3,000 annually per year for every inch that they are taller than someone else. So a person who's 6'4" on average is going to make $12,000 a year more than somebody who's 6 feet tall. The same thing is true with women. Shorter women, if you're 5 feet even, you're going to make about $10,000 less than a woman who's 5'4". So the first thing you have to do is recognize height. And it's always a really smart idea. If you're going to wear shoes, wear a lift that's going to buy you an extra half inch or an inch in your shoes if you're trying to make a sale, and if you can actually walk on it. That's number one. Number two is the way that you're dressed. Generally speaking, people want to see you dressed as well as they are, plus one. In other words, I used to sell advertising to a lot of different places like gas stations, okay? So I'd walk into a gas station, and I would not wear my tie. I would not wear a coat into a gas station. I'd take my coat and tie off, stick it in the car, and I'd walk in with an open shirt. I would look nice, but I would not look too many notches higher than the owner of the gas station would. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because what happens when you walk in with the coat and the tie and all that, you look like the church people from down the road trying to get you into their church. And people take offense that you would be dressed that much nicer than them. Also, the fewer people involved in a meeting, the more you want to be dressed like the people. The more people, if you've got 100 people, if you've got to make a presentation, you do have to dress to the highest person's dress. So in other words, if there's going to be one guy that always wears a suit and a tie, and everybody else is going to come business casual, you're still going to wear a suit and a tie. Boy, there's so many things that people can do for their looks. Pounds per square inch matters on the human body and sales. The more that we weigh, the less sales we make. Even if I'm sitting at dinner across from a man and he is 350 pounds, poor guy is just way overweight, no control over his eating or whatever. Let's say that the salesperson's 300 pounds, okay? So the 300-pound salesperson sitting across the 350-pound business owner. Well, the fact of the matter is the 350-pound business owner looks at the 300-pound salesman and goes, God, he's fat. So wait a second, but you're 350 pounds. You know, that's the thought process, but that's not how people think. They think you are out of control. Do I really want this person who is out of control, who has no control, telling me how to run my business? And so the best thing to do is to cut down your weight because it's the most controllable variable that we have about our appearance. That and little things like glasses reduce sales. Another great idea is teeth whitening. And this is one of the things that I do. I use Rembrandt, and I like the system, and it works well. And when you think about it, just from a psychological point of view, if you're looking at somebody that has really white teeth, you think that they are on television, that they're a celebrity, that they are people that are meeting a lot of people often. So it just gives you a psychological advantage. Interestingly, I don't think that there's been a controlled study done. It'd be a pretty tough study to do, but it just makes sense to have white teeth.
How about colognes and perfumes?
Boy, men, well, everybody, women, men, they all are terrible at this. I've competed with a lot of men over the years for sales, and it's really interesting where a guy would go into the office, and 10 minutes later, I'll walk in, and I can still smell his aftershave, which means that he is not going to get the sale, and I will. So that's why he left, and I still had the appointment. And women do the same thing. I mean, if you walk into Dayton's or Macy's, boy, it's terrible. Maybe the senses have died, but there's a lot of people that, first of all, find that unhealthy, A, and literally you're shutting down sales and doing business with people simply because there's a lot of people that believe all that stuff is toxic. As odd as that may sound, there's about 10% of the population there. Don't wear any cologne. Just use a nice deodorant, and that's it.
What are some ways a consultant can use their hands in communication that will work for them?
Good question. There's a few things that you can do with your hands. There's something I call the Clinton box. The Clinton box is sort of a cute little way to remember what to do with your hands. Bill Clinton, back in the 90s, was known to get in a little bit of trouble with people because of his hands. So you want to always keep your hands above your waist, and then there's above your shoulder line, above your neck. You don't ever want to touch anything above your neck while you're communicating with another person. There's nothing good that you can touch above your shoulder line that is going to help you get this piece of business, get this person to date you, whatever. They're not going to do it. You don't touch your face. You don't touch your hair. You don't touch your nose. You don't touch your ear. You touch nothing. And then from side to side, the furthest part of your shoulder straight down to the floor is where you don't want to put your hands outside of. So in other words, if you were to extend your hands all the way as far as you possibly could, they would be 6 feet from end to end, and you would probably not make the sale. But if you keep your hands in the Clinton box, and you don't put them outside, you look like you're in control, that you actually know what you're doing. You appear more competent. And then if you want to create good feelings with your hands, you don't point your finger at somebody with anything except for a cute, nice smile. Otherwise, it's like, oh my gosh, that guy's like my mom was. Not a good thing. And then if your palms can be face up towards your audience or towards the person you're talking to, as opposed to face down, you win. palm is face up, it's almost like, you know, what we were talking about in the restaurant, the dimming lights and all that.
Right.
There's sort of an unconscious response with people when they see a person's hands and they're gently up and comfortable, not like extended and tight, you know, straight out, but just hands that are face up, palms face up. Generally, it causes a good feeling to happen to other people. It's a very vulnerable position. People with hands closed, hands in a fist, hands that are touching each other, all that stuff, it just doesn't work very well. There's more. I mean, your hands should be clean. If you're working with women, women notice hands, and hands, for whatever reason, are very, very, very important to women, probably because they put a lot of time in on their own. And they look at your hands, and they judge you based upon what your hands look like, in addition to your face, too, of course. I wrote one book, Michael, Irresistible Attraction, and I'll never forget one of the interviews that I did with women. They say, we spend almost 2 hours in front of a mirror getting ready for you. Would you guys please spend 2 minutes in front of a mirror getting ready for us?
All right, that's good.
And I thought, gosh, you know, that's a really good point. And so literally just making sure that you're presentable. And men tend to overlook this in the course of the day because they don't think about it. We're very task-oriented. We're not sitting there, oh, is my hair in place? Or do I have anything in my teeth, you know, which is an instant no sale if you do. All those kind of things. But anyway, hands are really important.
This is great. What is a gesture that signals deception?
We mentioned a few earlier. If I scratch my ear or I touch my ear when we're talking about a topic that has truth as relevance. So like if you say, so Kat, where were you on the night of February 14th, 1927? And I say, well, I was at the Cubs game and I touched my ear. You probably know that either A, I'm lying, or B, I'm really nervous about that question. So touching your nose, scratching your nose, touching your earlobe especially, or any part of the ear, but particularly the earlobe, is a pretty deceptive gesture. Also, two other things are worth watching. If you're really good and you can notice a person's hands, and if you can actually see perspiration on a person's hand, you get used to it if you do body language a lot. But if you can't, don't try to figure this out. But if you get used to it, all of a sudden see the perspiration. You can't control the perspiration on your hands, no matter how good you are. I can control just about everything about my body language, but I can't control my perspiration. And so if I look at somebody else and I see their hands are starting to perspire, you know, then they glisten, essentially, when they're under this kind of duress. And it's either super high anxiety or it is deception. Often hard to tell the two apart, and you can't always tell them apart. And the other thing is their feet. People's feet will move away from you toward the exit or where they plan to exit to, even though their body is positioned toward you. So in other words, we could be sitting like opposite of each other at a table, okay, 180 degrees. You're sitting there, I'm sitting here, and then you say, so, Kev, how were sales at the company the last couple of years? Okay, they were really terrible, and for whatever reason, I decide to cover this up, right? I'm going to say, oh, things have been good. Well, there's an unconscious clue. We have a flight-fight response inside of us from 2 million years ago, and we have this desire to flee right now. And our feet will do it. We won't do it with our bodies because we're controlling everything from our trunk up, but your feet literally will shift toward the door.
So we may shift our seating position towards the door or cross our legs towards the door?
The point of your toes, where are your toes pointed? That's what I'm looking at. Not so much my lower body or my legs, but where do my toes point? I know it's weird, but one of the things that I look at when I evaluate politicians or celebrities' photos as to whether they like each other or they don't like each other, there's three things. One of them I do is I look at their feet. Where are their feet positioned in respect to the other person? Are they angled toward the person or away from the person? And it's a remarkable predictor of longevity in their relationships.
Now, is this how you can tell if a person's covering hidden feelings, or is that another topic?
No, that's a pretty solid predictor. There's a few things that people will do. People who are with another person, for example, will maybe put their arm around somebody if it's a man and a woman, but they won't be close to each other. There will be like 3 or 4 inches between their bodies. You know, that's usually a good thing, so people will attempt to deceive there.
How can you tell if another person is covering hidden feelings?
If you're just looking from the nonverbal aspect, there's a few things. I mean, people don't like to look at another person when they're covering hidden feelings, because unconsciously we know the longer that we look at that person, the easier we are to read, and we don't sit there and think that. It was just unconscious. Another thing is that vocal intonation is a lot different. So if you're to ask me, Kev, hey, is everything okay? I said, yeah, everything's fine. Well, then you know everything's fine. But if I say, yeah, everything's fine, or yeah, everything's fine, all of those little pacing and intonation differences mean something. There's a really cool book out there called Deep Listening by Robert Heskell, and he talks a lot about the very specific words that we select when we're trying to deceive or to not hurt feelings of other people. But anyway, for covering up, you know, yeah, listen to the intonations, listen to the differences, how long people have between words that they say in contrast to what they would normally do. Also, again, their body language, their feet would be facing an exit as opposed to you if they're uncomfortable and they're trying to cover something up.
Is there a preferred presentation order that can increase my chances of getting a client?
This is where a story can pay off. The answer to your question is you want to look at a problem, but this may not necessarily be a start, but you want to look at the problem and then look at multiple ideas. Michael, you might have thought about this idea, or you might have also thought about that idea, and you might have thought about this idea, and you really don't know which one to do, and it's not your fault because how could you? You're so close to the situation. Everybody knows that when you're too close to a situation, you can't solve it, which is why you bring in a consultant. So that's how you really want to solve it. Now, at the very, very beginning, we walk into the restaurant, we sit down. You don't immediately go, so, what's your problem today? The only place you do that is the doctor's office. But you do want to do a little bit of a diagnostic without getting too deep into the person's challenge. Nobody wants to be telling you that their business has been failing disastrously. This was one of the hardest things I had to learn. I mean, I'm telling you, it was so hard for me to do this because I never think in terms of, oh, you're stupid. Just let's fix it. And so I would get right to the point, always. It's like, okay, so what's going on here? Like this, this, this. And I realized I was just a little too fast. So you come back and you work your way into it. Always give people the factual piece of information that this is not their fault.
Okay. What is a more powerful motivator, the desire for gain or the fear of loss? And how can my consultants harness that power in their persuasive message?
Great question. Just about cross-business, cross-culture, cross-everything, fear of loss, fear of pain is about 2 to 3 times more powerful than the desire for gain. So if you were to say, hey, Kev, you know, I got a really cool idea that can help you make an extra $100,000 this year. You didn't even get my meter to go up to a 1. It doesn't do anything. 0. I mean, it's nothing. So what? But if you say, hey, Kev, I'm concerned. I saw something on your website, and I got a hunch that it's going to cost you $100,000 a year. Now you have my attention.
That's great. How can an HMA marketing consultant make their client's decision to hire them as a consultant permanent?
If you want to be hired permanently as a consultant, I think that you simply create an awesome, I know this sounds so easy, you create the awesome relationship. You create an enormous amount of value. One guy I worked with this year, for example, Michael, he was unemployed when I started working with him on a mentoring basis, for example. His name is Paul Thomas over in England. He loves having me tell the story, so I'll tell the story. This is 1 year and 2 months ago. He was literally broke, literally unemployed. Today he's making £450,000 a year on 2 contracts from now forward. And it's just because of little things that we did that changed how he thinks. So one thing I would tell people, think in terms of this client as becoming your friend in this context, literally. I mean, like, your real friend, like your best friend, somebody that you would never let anything bad happen to. That's truly it. And when you start to look at people and go, this is one of my best friends, obviously you're going to do everything you can to figure stuff out for them. It's not a tactic. It's just the best way to run business, and it shows through, and it's you, and it's real, and it works.
How can a consultant frame their pricing so the prospects believe it to be the right price when they're quoting prices?
Great question again, too. Generally speaking, people have lots of choices that they can do in price offerings. A lot of people will mention a price, okay, which is usually a big mistake. They could mention all the competitors' prices and then compare themselves to that. A big mistake. The best thing that you can probably do is to either compare prices with yourself or compare with 1 or 2 major competitors. And here's how you would do it. To compare with yourself, you would say, okay, Michael, I want your business because I want you to pay me actually a lot of money. And I want your business to be useful to me and to you. So I will mentor you this year as part of my, say, coaching program for a price, but I want to first tell you what's in it. There's Bing, and that sells for, you know, $5,000, and there's Q, which sells for $7,000 to the public, and there's this, which is worth $6,000, and there's this, which is worth $8,000. I know these numbers sound remarkably high, but I'm not a kid down the street. You're looking at about $44,000 worth of information, and you're going to have access to me by email every day, $10,000, and that's it.
That's great.
The alternative, by the way, is to, you should know this, is that you can offer 3 different levels of service. I would encourage people not to offer two levels of service. Have three levels of service where you can offer three different kinds of things, and to have one outrageous, ridiculously super high priced one, and then two that are closer together, with the second one being just a little more expensive than the third, and then position the middle price last, and you'll sell it about 80% of the time.
Great, great stuff. What is the number one question that someone must say yes to every time?
If you ask a question first, I'll say, for example, Michael, if I could guarantee that I could show you how to earn $100,000 more next year, guarantee 100% positive for $9,000 in return, $700 a month, each month over the next year, and this is a guarantee, I promise you will make $100,000 a year, would you be willing to work with me this year?
Yes.
That's it.
Oh, that's great. So it's the way you frame your question.
Exactly.
Good job. What's the most common mistake people make in building credibility? And this is by far the number one question I get from new consultants. They want to know how to go in with credibility because they don't have consulting experience previously.
You know, that sounds like a question I probably answered in an article sometime, and I'm not sure what I said that day, but what comes to my mind is people, when they're trying to build credibility, they try to put too many bricks on top of each other when they're communicating with somebody. So they'll say, oh, you know, I wrote 16 books, and then also I do international work, and then I taught at St. Thomas, the University of St. Thomas, and I was interviewed by all these magazines, and people don't need quite that much information. Instead, you always start by this. Like, I'm not the best choice for everybody. Let me tell you, there's no question. I don't belong in the aerospace industry. I can't do that. I'm still not good there. But what I do focus on is Bing, Bing, and Bing. This is my area. This is sort of like my niche. This is what I get paid to do. And frankly, I'm being just honest. I really think there's nobody out there that does as much work for their clients as I do. And that's why I think that you might want to look at hiring me instead of somebody else. And I'm going to ask you today, because that's what I'm going to teach you to do, is get your business today.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. That's great. Is there any other business you'd rather be involved in? I mean, your consulting business. Can you think of anything better that you'd rather be doing for making a living?
No, not to make a living.
As your profession. I mean, do you just love what you do?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I do except for taxes, but a trade. I think I wouldn't mind doing some more consulting to our government, to high-level politicians. It would be very nice to show how to maybe accomplish some goals for the United States that might be helpful to our country. I guess that's sort of like a dream that I've had. I've had a chance to help another government with that, with Poland.
How did that occur?
I had done two events in Poland, and Psychology of Persuasion, my book, became really well known there for a couple of reasons. One of them was because Jacek Santorski, the publisher of the book, also was the state psychologist, just like we have like an attorney general and surgeon general. Well, they don't have a surgeon general in Poland, but they do have a state psychologist, and this happened to be Jacek, who published my book. He's also a book publisher. He's a pretty wealthy guy for Poland, and he put in some good words for me at the same time that Kasia, the woman who was doing my translation at events, she also happened to work part-time for the health ministry. So they were talking about, who do we bring in to do AIDS prevention work that's going to be persuasive, that's going to actually work, because this is a Catholic country. Pope John Paul doesn't want us wearing condoms, but that's the only way you can get AIDS stopped. And so they called me one night, and they said, would you know how to get us to have a reduced AIDS rate in Poland? And I confess, I simply said, yeah. That was so stupid, because I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I didn't realize how much work I was getting myself into. But I did all the research. I went there, helped a lot of people. I learned more than I taught, and it was a great experience. And that experience made me know that working at levels that you can influence a lot of people and a lot of people's lives is a really cool feeling inside. So that's that story.
That's great. On your website, why don't you give the listeners the URL? What's the best way for someone to get to know you more, read some of your articles, find all your products? Do you have more than one website?
Lots of websites, but the one where you probably want to go to is kevinhogan.com. And I think the neatest thing on the website is the fact that you can get coffee with Kevin Hogan, which is weekly e-zine, comes to you every Monday morning. It's neat. I mean, you just read it twice, and if you don't like it, tell us. But try to see if you become addicted. And it's just called Coffee with Kevin Hogan. It's awesome. You just leave your name and email address, and I'd be thrilled if you did that. That would be very cool. And send me your responses to the things that we talk about every week.
Sure. Out of all your courses, what do you find has the biggest market demand?
Oh, the biggest market demand is body language. The body language home study course is really neat. It's got video. We have sort of like this secret website where all the photos that I've done for the magazines over the years and analyzing political figures and celebrities and all that, it's all there. And we've got this interactive program where I have you analyze the photo, and then I analyze the photo and I tell you what I saw, not necessarily saying that what you're doing is incorrect, but just to show you what I saw, perhaps in addition to what you saw. It's a really neat program. It's very modestly priced. It's almost like a loss leader kind of an item, and it's just almost the perfect program for learning body language.
Well, I saw the prices of your products, and my first impression is you're selling this stuff, you know, way too little. Do you have some kind of pricing strategy for your products?
Yeah, just like any good marketer, we literally have tested numbers. We know what is not going to sell the most product. That's not the goal. The goal is to build the longest-term customer possible. So when you subscribe to Coffee with Kevin Hogan, you will get either a day, a month, a year, 5 years of material that is free that you won't find at any other website anywhere, period. And you'll go, oh my God, I just saved $100,000. And then, literally, people then go into the store one day after a day, a month, a week, a year, and they buy something. And then they get this 12 CD program, say, and it's 12 hours instead as opposed to, like, you know, 65 minutes or whatever. It's good, and it's cool. It's not being read to you. It's not stuff you've heard before. I hate rehash. You know, there's no duplication between programs. And so we know that once you buy this, that you're going to buy another one because it's going to be roughly the same price. It's hard to explain. It's almost like once you buy it, you're sort of stuck with me for life.
Okay. How often are you doing speaking engagements?
Right now I'm doing about 10 a year. I'm down by about 10 times from what I used to do. That's because I get to hang out with my son right now, and for the next couple of years, till he becomes a teenager, that's what I'm going to do. Then I'll go back on the road again.
Great. How has Amazon helped you? I mean, your books are all over Amazon. Has that been a great resource, having your books on Amazon, in generating business for your site and your consulting practice?
Yeah, Amazon is hugely helpful, and the way that Amazon has built itself as a marketing tool for themselves, they know how generous they are to authors and to people who sell products. They're very, very smart how they run their business model. They almost demand loyalty, and they get it because they do such a great job. People who write books should be involved in Amazon. And if you don't write books right now, you certainly should be on there reviewing other people's books. One of the greatest things you can do to build your business is to review somebody's book who you might need help from someday in securing a consulting gig.
That's great. Who's your publisher for all your books?
I have three, but Wiley is the biggest.
Wiley.
Wiley is the number one business publisher in the world. They do other books. They do books for pregnant women. They do the Dummy series. They've got lots of other avenues, but as far as business, nobody competes with Wiley.
How helpful are they in getting you distribution other than just publishing and selling you the books?
I would say that they're no better than the smaller publishers. I'm not all that impressed from the PR standpoint. I like my editor, and I like the company, and if I didn't, I would leave. But every company has a way that they could do more. They could definitely do more from the publicity end.
So, Kevin, if anyone wanted to contact you personally for consulting services or for speaking engagements or have questions about any of your products that you haven't covered on your website, what would be the best phone number for them to contact you on?
Yeah, if you choose not to go to kevinhogan.com and you want to say hello, call 773-410-5121. That's 773-410-5121, and we'll be happy to help.
Kevin, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you giving such great value and spending time with me today. I really do. And thanks for doing it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun working with you, Mike. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the end of our interview with Kevin Hogan. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'm sure you've learned something. Make sure you listen to this over and over again. If you'd like to contact Kevin, again, the best number to contact him is at 773-410-5121. That's 773-410-5121. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Here's some information on my HMA marketing consulting system. I'm going to read through the sales letter. This way you can just listen to what it's all about. Let's get started. Here's how to use Richard's simple, risk-free home study system to become a high-paid marketing consultant in 45 days or less without any prior marketing, business, or consulting experience. Dear friend, in this letter, you'll learn a simple, painless, and inexpensive way to become a high-paid marketing consultant in the next 45 days, complete with paying clients and a steady flow of income that comes in year after year. It doesn't matter what your current skills are now, and it doesn't matter if you have any connections or business experience. In fact, all you really need are a few simple systems my friend Richard has developed over the years to become a high-paid and in-demand marketing consultant. And the best part is you do not have to shell out tens of thousands of dollars for the secrets, and you can even use them for yourself almost free if you choose. I'll explain the details of this offer in a second, but first, let me tell you what's in Richard's HMA system and how you can be up and running, earning money soon after getting it. To begin with, if you do your homework, you'll find that there are several competing marketing consulting business opportunities in the marketplace. I'll be the first one to advise you to look into all of them before you invest into any of them, including my HMA system. I've interviewed countless people who have paid enormous fees to attend trainings. I've received firsthand feedback on Y2 Marketing, Action International, Quantum, Topline, Peterson Consulting, and other marketing opportunities, and many of them are actually pretty good. But what separates our HMA system from the other ones I've seen is that with Richard's system, you don't need any previous marketing experience, any business connections, or even a lot of money. In fact, Richard will be the first person to tell you if he can do it, you can do it. How can he be so sure? Because when Richard started, he was broke himself and had very poor selling, speaking, marketing, and presentation skills. And even today, he's just as shy and introverted as the next guy. In fact, the only difference between you and Richard is because of a simple system he invented after attending a J. Abraham Marketing Consulting Seminar over 15 years ago. You see, Richard discovered that while J. Abraham really is a marketing genius, his system, like most other marketing consulting programs today, was not geared toward ordinary people who don't have a lot of money or natural marketing talents. J. Abraham in the early 90s had credibility, contacts, and millions of dollars. The training Jay taught his consultants was from his own millionaire perspective. But Richard was nearly broke, so broke he had to borrow money from his dad to attend Jay's training. He had no credibility and few contacts. And when Richard went out in the field to test Jay's teaching, he failed. Richard did not quit. After years of experience in organizing the marketing concepts into a workable system, Richard began to experience success. Richard had discovered his own unique system to make money as a marketing consultant that is easy to follow and simple to learn. Richard had created a system that will work whether you're a millionaire like J. Abraham or broke like Richard, struggling to make the rent. It's taken Richard 15 years to perfect and tens of thousands of dollars working out the bugs and getting his system so you can approach virtually any kind of business to offer your consulting services. And since sharing his system to the public, Richard has trained marketing consultants in the U.S., the U.K., Nigeria, Luxembourg, Australia, Greece, Ireland, Canada, and even Holland, some who were totally new to marketing when they started. Here's why. With Richard's system, all you do is use the tools he's created for you the exact way he says to use them. And within the first few weeks, you can have a marketing consulting business with paying customers and large fees dwarfing anything you could make at your regular job. And best of all, you can do it all without pressure, without strain, and without the unbearable personal rejection most marketing consultants endure when getting started. For example, most people getting into the consulting business believe making cold calls to get clients is the worst and most difficult way to get clients. This method is usually reserved for the consultant who has no contacts whatsoever. While other consulting trainings tell you to make prospecting calls yourself, Richard's system trains you to pay others to do your prospecting for you. Take, for instance, the telephone prospecting script in the system. All you do is take the proven phone script, hand them to a part-time telemarketer with a copy of the Yellow Pages, and tell him or her to call businesses and read the script word for word. This simple method for getting new clients works time and time again. You do none of the calling and you still generate clients. This way, you can be sleeping in, playing golf, or even taking a vacation and have an endless stream of fresh, quality appointments coming in each and every day without you lifting a finger. Plus, in addition to these proven phone scripts, you'll get an audio training called How to Get Appointments, which takes your people step-by-step through the whole process on how to use the scripts. That means if you don't want to pay a lot of money for a professional telemarketer, just hire a student or a stay-at-home mom and give her the How to Get Appointments training, and she'll be just as good, if not better, than anyone else at getting you appointments. Of course, the phone is only one way to get clients. Your HMA system also has already tested direct mail letters for selling your consulting services, such as an approach letter and a follow-up letter, a proven collection of postcards designed to generate leads, and even a sample brochure and professional audio presentations. And with the simple tools he'll create, you'll be hitting your prospects from every conceivable angle, giving yourself the maximum chance of capturing those high-quality paying clients within days of starting your consulting business. And if you're really ambitious, then you can use Richard's system to create what's called the podium effect. What's the podium effect? The podium effect is this phenomenon where people will automatically respect, trust, and believe people who talk at seminars or small workshops. And since Richard also includes pre-written seminars and workshop flyers, you can fill a room, give your presentation, and watch as dozens of people scramble to hire you the second you step from behind the podium. Not sure how good you'll be at putting on presentations? No problem, because Richard has already created a powerful presentation seminar outline for you, complete with a PowerPoint presentation and all the training you'll need to be up and running fast. This is the same presentation Richard currently uses to capture clients today. More on this later. You won't have to try and figure anything out or struggle or structure your presentation. Just plug in Richard's pre-made seminar presentation, follow the word-for-word transcript, and you'll be delivering a powerful, proven presentation that gets clients fast. Easy as 1, 2, 3. And here's something else to think about. With Richard's system, you won't have to worry about not having a reputation or a track record of helping business owners with their marketing. If you've never done consulting before, I know what you may be thinking now. You're asking yourself, why should these business owners believe anything I say? You're afraid that they will ask you for proof that you can get results. You'll think they'll want referrals before they work with you. You're thinking that you have no credibility. This is only an illusion in your imagination. It's fear, not based on reality. I'm here to tell you this will not happen to you, and here's why. You must understand that your clients are not interested in you. They are only interested and the results you can bring them. Being a fully certified marketing consultant means you'll be able to draw on the successful track record of the HMA system. It's actually pretty simple. Richard has discovered a proven way for you to use his testimonials, his stories, and his success for your business. And by following Richard's simple instructions, you'll be able to borrow Richard's credibility for yourself. Plus, you'll also learn a secret way Richard has invented to create your own credibility within the first 30 seconds of meeting a potential prospect without needing any testimonials, success stories, or past successes. This is one of Richard's trade secrets, and it works like gangbusters for everyone who uses it. But here's the thing. Getting the appointment or filling a room with prospects is only step one. You can get all the appointments in the world, but if you can't close the sale, then it's all for nothing. Richard knows this more than anyone. After spending hundreds of hours and tens of thousands of dollars of trial and error, he has created a truly foolproof system that lets almost anyone turn at least 25% of your appointments into paying clients. And what makes this possible is Richard's proprietary opportunity analysis worksheet. With this simple document Richard has created, you can walk into any business, command immediate respect and attention, and literally become a marketing miracle man to the owner of that business. The reason why is because the opportunity analysis worksheet lets you literally make over a business owner's marketing and show them exactly how you will create real cash profits right before their eyes. And if this business owner you are talking with has any desire to grow his business at all, then he'll have no choice but to be impressed by you and want to work with you. In fact, the opportunity analysis worksheet makes converting appointments into paying clients so simple you can even do it over the phone. Richard also shows you how to command large fees and even get paid on a portion of the sales you make for your clients for years in the future. It's called a contingency fee agreement. This should only be used with a client after they have hired you and paid you to do project work. Other expensive consulting opportunities teach you that contingency is the only and best way to sell consulting services. And it works like this. If you help your client make an extra $100,000 a year, not uncommon for Richard's students, and you make 15% contingency agreement with that client, you will pocket an extra $15,000 on top of your regular fees per year. If you do this for just 5 of your clients, you will make an extra $75,000 a year. If you do this for just 10 of your clients, you'll make an extra $150,000 a year, and so on. Again, this is in addition to your regular fees. You can typically charge a client anywhere from $500 to $5,000 per project, and most clients will need at least 4 projects. And it's so easy once you understand Richard's system, because Richard really has done 90% of the work for you already. For example, his system includes endorsed letter samples. All you do is find businesses that sell similar but non-competing products and services as the business you are helping and strike a simple deal with them where they send your offer to their customer list for a portion of the profits. This way, you and your client make a bundle off the initial sales and even bigger windfall from additional sales later. All from leads that didn't cost your clients a penny to generate. Client reactivating letter samples. This is the easiest way to make fast cash for you and your client because almost nobody goes after his or her inactive clients and customers. And all you do is take one of your pre-written letters and mail it to your client's inactive customers. Watch your clients shake their head in disbelief as inactive customers they thought would never buy again come back to life, spending their money with your clients again and again and again. And remember, if you set up simple contingency deals with these clients, as Richard explains in his system, you'll get paid on all that action too. You'll get letter templates for things like special promotions, unique sales, and other events. Each letter is proven to work, and it's almost guaranteed money in your bank account every time you use one of them. These are just a few of the reasons why Richard's students report such fast and easy profits. To hear real stories from existing HMA marketing consultants in their own words, go to hardtofindseminars.com/audioclips8, as in Harry, .htm. That's hardtofindseminars.com/audioclips. The A is capital. Capital A, and then audio clips with a capital H after clips .htm. You'll learn how they're able to get clients that pay cash quickly. This is why I have no problem saying nothing could be simpler than using Richard's system to make money quickly and easily as a marketing consultant. And realize this, every time you make one of your clients money using Richard's paint-by-numbers, pre-created tools, you'll become your city's marketing business guru, and you'll have the instant reputation as the go-to guy. As I said before, I've seen all other marketing consulting programs out there, and I have not yet seen anything that even comes close to Richard's system. But you certainly don't have to take my word for it, because you will see you can try everything almost free if you want and see it for yourself. But first, here's a quick breakdown of all the exclusive marketing training you'll be getting in your HMA system. HMA resource number one, this is the actual HMA system. You'll get all 10 HMA operational manuals showing you each step of the way how to capture clients and make them real profits. This collection represents the system. Each binder walks you through all steps of the system. You'll reference these materials as you take your clients through the steps of the HMA system. Richard spent years creating and refining these modules. Each comes in their own three-ring binder. You'll use these manuals as you follow along in resources 2 and 3. HMA resource number 2, the 1995 HMA live seminar training. You'll own 25 hours of cutting-edge HMA marketing training in a downloadable audio format. Richard's first live marketing consulting seminar was conducted in early 1995. Your 1995 training features Richard at the top of his game teaching a room packed with students his system for becoming a successful marketing consultant. Each student paid $5,000 to attend. You'll be able to download, hear, and learn everything you need about capturing clients and creating marketing systems for them. It's like having Richard right there with you, showing you exactly what to do each step of the way. HMA resource number 3, the 2005 HMA live seminar training. You'll get Richard's most recent live training on DVD. This is the same training Richard did from 1995, but updated 10 years later. You'll see Richard in action in full color and live in front of a room full of students eager to learn Richard's secrets of his HMA consulting system. Each DVD is professionally produced. The picture quality and sound is perfect. You can play your DVDs in your home, computer, or portable DVD players. You can even take it on the road with you. I've also arranged to have your audio from each each of your DVDs converted to downloadable MP3 audio files. You'll not only be able to watch this newest training in video, but you'll have full access to download each audio as an MP3 file. You can also burn CDs to play in your home or car CD player. Any way you choose, you'll sit from the comfort of your home, car, or office and have Richard transform your mind into a human hidden marketing assets detector. After learning Richard's system, you'll be trained to sniff out found money in virtually any business lucky enough to retain your services. Richard's students pay thousands of dollars to learn what you'll get in these DVD trainings alone. HMA resource number 5, the HMA Group Training Video DVDs. This is Richard's most recent training, conducting live group training for 15 business owners wanting to learn how to grow their business. The group training concept is another way for you to make money. Richard discovered that many of the businesses he talks to want his consulting services but could not afford his one-on-one fees. As a result, Richard started working with manufacturing associations and started doing group trainings with 10 to 20 business owners at a time. Each group training would last for 2 hours, twice a month for 3 months. You can charge anywhere from $500 to $3,000 per business owner. If you were to do group training for 10 businesses, and let's say you charged only $1,000 each, you would make $10,000 for only 12 hours of work. That's $830 an hour. I have never seen any easier way to make money than this. Imagine using one of your pre-written letters from your HMA system and sending it out as an email to a list of your local chamber members at no cost to you. Then, imagine prospects attending your free seminar on how to grow a business without advertising. Then, imagine taking your guests through the pre-designed HMA PowerPoint presentation crafted to sell group trainings and one-on-one consulting services. Remember the podium effect? Then, imagine having 10 people fighting their way to you with checkbooks in hand, ready to pay you anywhere from $500 to $3,000 each. If you're the consultant who likes action in an exciting group atmosphere and who likes to make a lot of money fast, this presentation is for you. Your set of group training DVDs will show you exactly how to execute this training. You'll have access to pre-designed workbooks to provide each one of your paying clients, and you may even have these workbooks private labeled with your consulting name on the cover. But there is a minimum order of 10 sets. HMA resource number 5. You'll get lifetime access to exclusive online training and support in your HMA University, including online audio, email, telephone, backup, and more. You'll hear intensive interviews with marketing consultants making anywhere from $500 to $2 million a year doing marketing consulting. You'll learn their secret ways of making money and how they run their consulting businesses for maximum profit and minimum work. These interviews and trainings are updated regularly and published in your HMA University, which means you'll have all the support and feedback you need to make your consulting business fly right from the start. HMA resource number 6, you'll get my famous Joint Venture Magic course, including audio training, joint venture sales letters, and sample contract and agreements. This course sells for $595 on my site, but you'll get it for free as part of your HMA system. And trust me, if you do nothing else but harness the enormous power of joint ventures as explained in this course, you'll never worry about money again. Plus, this joint venture course also includes a collection of contracts and letters of agreements for use in your consulting practice. You'll have agreements for contingency marketing, copywriting, intellectual property rights, marketing consulting retainer fees, non-disclosure forms, creating new profit centers, referral fees, and many more. Without a doubt, you would have to pay tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees for a collection of agreements like these. But this entire collection is yours when you become an HMA consultant. HMA resource number 7, you get a gift certificate for $1,000 off my audio creation service. This will pay for itself 100 times over in your first year alone. Here's why. If your client can talk into a phone, I can create him an information product that can sell for anywhere between $497 and $3,900. I've done it myself. I've sold hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of information products using this very system. And with your help, he can then sell the product to use it to generate leads for his business. And of course, if you set up a contingency agreement, you will get paid on those sales too. You'll also get a certificate worth $500 off my audio infomercial service. There's nothing better than a hard-hitting audio recording that features the benefits of your product and service, and there's no better delivery than the internet. Plus, you can also use this service for your own business. When you have your own unique audio infomercial, you'll literally ooze with the kind of ironclad credibility money can't buy, and even your most skeptical prospects will want to hire you right on the spot. And perhaps the best part about your certificate is that it can be sold or transferred to your clients. There is no expiration date as long as you remain an active HMA consultant. HMA resource number 8, free publicity and press training from the Publicity Doctor. This is huge, especially when you set up contingency or commission deals, because every time you use free publicity, money will come back to you in buckets without your clients having to do anything but answer the phone and answer a few questions. You'll learn the secret of getting millions of dollars in free publicity for your business and your clients' businesses in newspaper, magazine, television, and radio. HMA resource number 9, you'll also get the reprint and resale rights to 23 professionally written business reports, including Insider Business Strategies, 5 Ways to Increase Your Bottom Line Profits Without Spending an Extra Dime on Advertising, Quick Fix Marketing, One-Shot Turnaround Strategies for 50 different companies. This gives you 50 marketing plans for 50 different businesses. Chances are your client will fall under one of these categories, and you can use these reports to make your job easier than ever before. The Headline Bank, 100 top money-making headlines. How to up your profits in a down economy, 114 tips and techniques and tactics to kickstart your cash flow. Yellow Page Success Secrets. How to attract more new business with a riveting ad that captures immediate attention. How to use brochures to grow your business, and more, 23 in all. The great thing about having all these reports is not only this great business information, but that you can also resell these reports. You're going to have all the rights you need to put your own company name on them and resell them to your clients to make revenue. This is a residual income opportunity built into the HMA consulting training. You'll own these reports in Microsoft Word and PDF files so that you can reproduce these for your clients to sell to them directly. HMA resource number 10, the marketing, reprint, and duplication rights to a collection of my 117 hours of audio content in written transcripts from hardtofindseminars.com. You'll own the use rights, not the resale rights, to over 117 hours of downloadable audio interviews, marketing lessons, and transcripts by Bob Bly, Mark Joyner, Gary Halbert, J. Conrad Levinson, Tom Hopkins, Brian Keith Foyles, Carl Galletti, Ted Nicholas, Joe Vitale, the PR Doctor, Art Hamill, Millionaire Mr. X, Taylor Trump, Herschel Gordon Lewis, and many other marketing experts. You'll instantly have a mountain of new products you can use to get more customers, clients, subscribers in strategic business contexts, use as free bonuses to sell consulting projects and services, offer as special incentives to help your clients sell more of their existing products, package and bundle together to make one-of-a-kind products to give them away free to build goodwill. Educate and excite your clients. Your options of what you can do with this content is endless. This content has been a labor of love that has taken me 10 years to build. I've invested tens of thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours to put this material together, and yet I'm making it available to you as an HMA consultant at no cost whatsoever. HMA resource number 11, a lifetime membership to hardtofindads.com. You'll get over 700 typed word-for-word transcripts from the world's largest digital swipe file of editorial-style ads by the highest-paid and most successful copywriters in the world, like Eugene Schwartz, Claude Hopkins, Gary Halbert, Brian Keith Voiles, John Carlton, and Ben Suarez. This is like having a team of the world's top copywriters on your desk telling you exactly what to write to make a winning promotion. These ads have pulled in hundreds of millions of dollars in sales and are proven templates that will work for you and your clients. In many cases, you can take what's already been done and adapt it to what you're selling. Products with just half the profit-producing ads sell for over $5,000, but they're all yours free as part of this super HMA consulting package. HMA resource number 12, 24/7 remote control consulting service selling tool. Selling consulting people who don't want consulting can zap your motivation stone dead and eat hours of valuable time. You should only be selling your services to qualified prospects. And so, you get a valuable time-saving tool to pre-sell our HMA system for you. It's a PowerPoint presentation outlining all the steps in the HMA system. This presentation will let you send a link to any prospect in the world with internet access and have them learn about what you can do for their business as an HMA consultant. In other words, it takes you out of the selling position until they have gone through the presentation. If your prospect doesn't do this, they aren't uniquely qualified as a legitimate prospect and are not worthy of your valuable time and expertise. You'll get this presentation customized with your photo, your company logo, your website, and your email address branded throughout. This one tool has saved me hundreds of hours by letting me pre-sell and educate prospects about the HMA system without my direct involvement. You'd pay thousands of dollars to produce a selling tool on your own like this, but it's yours to use and brand the second you become an HMA consultant. Resource number 13, you'll own 100% usage rights to all your marketing tools, sales letters, postcards, presentations, ads, press releases, client-generating reports, client testimonials, manuals, my million-dollar consultants list of service providers, and more. Everything you need. Well, what about support? As an HMA marketing consultant, you'll be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. By that I mean, when you have a question, you get Michael Sinoff, not some customer service rep that doesn't speak English. You'll get me working directly with you. You'll get me returning your calls minutes after you leave, a message, and that includes weekends. You'll get me returning your emails in hours, not days. You'll even get marketing assets I've accumulated over the years, like my knowledge on direct mail, marketing, advertising, and copywriting. In other words, I am always here for you. No question is a stupid question except a question you don't ask, and I'm personally going to do whatever I can to help you. If you need something, just ask, and I'll do whatever I have to do to get any answer you're looking for, whether it's asking Richard or going to my network of millionaire marketing and business experts. If I don't have an answer for you, I will find someone who does. And finally, as I said at the beginning of this letter, you get to try everything out, use all the tools, and learn all the secrets without having to risk a single penny of your own money. Here's why. If you follow the system step by step exactly the way Richard teaches and you don't capture your first client in 45 days or less, I'll refund 100% of your purchase price with no questions asked, no hard feelings, and no trying to talk you out of it. All of which means you can test drive this system without risking a penny. And I mean that. I want you to hold my feet to the fire for 45 days. Use the system, play with it, compare it to other systems, and see for yourself exactly what you have in your hands. And if you aren't making money with this system in your first 45 days, then return it. How much does it cost? Well, I've done the math, and the tools, resources, and personal help is easily $22,000 worth of material, probably even a lot more. And other popular marketing systems I've seen with only a tiny fraction of the features in the HMA system cost $30,000, plus ongoing fees and even royalties on the money you make. In fact, that is the standard practice, to take a cut of the money you make with their system. But with Richard's HMA system, you won't be paying any royalty fees, nor will you be paying $30,000 or $20,000 or even $10,000. No, you can claim your complete HMA marketing system with the tools, manuals, videos, audios, lifetime access to ongoing HMA university training, and all the high-powered marketing resources I've listed and more for just six payments of $995 plus shipping and handling, or one payment of $5,970 plus shipping and handling. The six payment plan is my way of letting anyone get started. This is not a layaway plan where you only get your system until after all the payments have been made. No, you'll get all 13 resources described in this letter, starting with your first payment of $995 plus shipping. Shipping in the U.S. is only $43. Shipping international is between $90 and $200 depending on your location. And again, there are no additional fees to pay after all your payments are made. This investment is chump change compared to the tens of thousands of dollars you can save and make with our HMA system over the course of your life, even in the first month if you choose. This tax-deductible investment is small compared to what you're getting, especially when compared to what other marketing consulting courses with a lot less value and with all their fees and royalty. However, there are two small catches to this. First of all, do you remember earlier in this letter when I said I was giving you my audio creation infomercial at a huge discount? Well, if you become an HMA consultant, you're going to be dealing with a lot of people who will want and need that service. And I'm hoping you will send some of those people my way to get these audio services done when the time is right. If you become an HMA consultant in the next 30 days from the date of this letter, I'll happily pay you a fat 20% finder's fee for any audio work you refer over. Yet another way you can make money with the system without so much as lifting a finger. But this is another of the main reasons why I'm giving you all this value at this ridiculously low price. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't offering this deal as much for me as I am for you. And secondly, even though you're free to use your HMA system anywhere without restrictions, I have severe limits on the number of systems Richard will let me sell within each geographical area. Richard wants to make sure as an HMA consultant you have the maximum opportunity to profit without competitors. So being accepted as an HMA consultant is not guaranteed, and the only way to be sure of claiming your system is to act now. All you have to do is call me personally at 858-274-7851, and together we'll determine if becoming an HMA consultant is right for you. If we're both in agreement, I'll send you a payment agreement by email in the form of a PDF document. You'll complete it and fax it back to me at 858-274-2579. I'll then process your payment and send you the membership details for the HMA Online University, and I'll rush your HMA system to you by U.S. mail or Federal Express. You can start listening to your online audio lessons immediately while waiting for the rest of your HMA system to arrive. And that's it. If you have any questions, please feel free to call me at 858-274-7851. Yours sincerely, Michael Sinoff. P.S. Please keep in mind that while it really is easy and simple to make money with Richard's system, it is not for everyone. I say this because if you and I talk and I find that you're not a fit for this system and I say no, please don't take it personally. There are some people who just shouldn't be marketing consultants, especially with Richard's system. But the one way to find out is to give me a call at 858-274-7851. If you get my voicemail, please leave your name, your area code and phone number, say that you're calling about the HMA system, and I'll call you back at once. Please do not email. I get so much spam that your email may never make it to me. If you're still not sure if my HMA system is right for you, go and hear real stories from other HMA marketing consultants in their own words how they were able to get their first clients. All you have to do is go to hardtofindseminars.com/AUDIOCLIPS.htm. That's hardtofindseminars.com/audioclips H. The A is capital and the H is capital. Thanks for listening.